we know you were at the school during the 1935 Jubilee and the 37 coronation celebrations. Do you want to tell us what they were like?
Yes, one of the things I was thinking. I mean, I was thinking about that, especially last year with the Queen's Jubilee, because Kildwick and Farnhill were looked on, a community. We had a tea both times. Tea for all the school children, and it was in the school children had their tea in the Methodist Sunday school. Uh-huh. The old people, I think we had about the village 60 or over, but I don't know just what age, and various other people had a tea here in the institute.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we'd sort of people in the village in 1935. Mr. and Mrs. Ridioff at Farnhill Hall gave the tea.
Right.
And the Mr. Briggses gave everybody, all the school children, a china, either a beaker or a mug. Mm. The boys got mugs and the girls got beakers. And in 1937, the Briggses gave the tea. Because Mrs. Ridioff said, She could do as much for Kildwick and Farnhill this time. She thought they ought to do something for Connolly, because I think the Ridioffs had the mill at Connolly.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we had this tea. The tea was for all the school children and all the people who were still at school, even if they were older. like me, who was at the grammar school. And I can remember, and I think it'd be at the coronation. Yes. The 37th, the coronation, also among this older group of us getting tea, was the son of the Methodist minister, who was at Leeds University. And if I remember it right, they got caterers to do it. So, I mean, sometimes with things, they...
Everybody has to bring something.
But the Briggses were generous. And for the coronation, It was John Arthur Smith that gave the mugs, the shiny mugs that we got then.
Where was he from? Where did he live?
Well, he lived at Myra Rig.
Right.
Yeah. Is it still called Myra Rig?
No.
And then we have sports in the field across the canal bank from where the school is. Mm. Yeah. I don't know whether you wouldn't remember, there used to be a tennis court.
Yes, there were some tennis courts.
And it was just above that tennis court, so that would be something. We had sports there. And I was only thinking, I think I got a prize from the egg and spoon race, which was a voucher of 3 and 6p, which I spent at Mr. Snowden's, the post office, and I bought my mother a lovely cake knife with it.
Oh,
but of course, 3 and 6p was a fortune.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was a substantial sum.
Duff's wondering from what you want to hear. Being without water in the summer.
Really?
Have I heard anything about that?
Did that happen often?
It jolly well did. You see, there wasn't any sort of public water supply proper before. That came in after the war. I mean, are there still those two sort of large tanks on Farnhill Moor that were the reservoirs for Farnhill?
Yes. Yeah.
And the one for Kildwick was just behind Cracktop.
Yes, that's not
a field
anymore,
no,
I think.
Well, my mother quoted one year when we had no water through the schoolhouse taps from July till October.
Really?
And if you ever had to carry water, it's jolly heavy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where did you get it from, the water?
Now, Kildwick Hall had a different supply, and they had a tank in the courtyard. horse trough, at which there was a tap, and they let people, you could go and take your buckets or cans. So I have carried many a gallon of water down Parsons Way, and it's jolly heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my father did what I suppose he wasn't meant to do. He got buckets of water from the canal. You see, you could get out from our back gate to the canal, which we used for flushing the toilets. And we had a rain tub, which was an ex-beer barrel in the backyard where we collected water, you know, which we used for washing. I'm not quite sure how this coped. We only had gas. You know, as you probably know, I lived in the schoolhouse. And my bedroom hadn't even got gas. Because I had a room that was over that little room at the back of the school. My mother's theory was that originally she thought the headmaster would have been paid by the school managers and probably had his gas provided. And then she thought when Bernard Scales came in and it was standard salaries, she thought they'd just sever the gas pipe. I had to go to bed with a night light. You see, because although we lived in the schoolhouse, my parents paid rent to the school managers for it.
And did you live there all the time? That your father, you know, was your father there?
Yes, he was the last head to live there. You see, this is it. In those days, it was taken for granted. I mean, it was really a condition of his employment that they should live in the village. What isn't there, what used to be there, was what we call the gazebo. That had been built by the Wilsons who owned the land. Because the Briggs didn't own Kindwick Hall, they rented it from the Wilsons, didn't they? And it would have been a memorial to the daughter of one of the Wilsons.
Peggy Wilson.
And there was a sort of shattered part, the downstairs bits, which was really a meeting place for the old men in the village, I think. And Father could take them across there. I think it was mostly, they managed to play a bit of rounders in the summer, yes,
my dad said that they used to go in and do art and drawing and things in there in the summer.
That was the warehouse that was behind the school. Whit Monday, both the Sunday schools, the church Sunday school and the village and the Methodist Sunday school had a walk and you'd go around and sing hymns. And I'm not sure where the Methodists ended. We from the church we ended in a field of one of Laycock's fields. And the tea you got was just a sort of like a Kent tea cake.
The Methodist.
And then we scrambled for sweets. Because your family were Methodist.
Yes,
well.
And they went to Kildwick Hall. The Briggses entertained them up there on the Whit Sunday walks. So. Or Whit Monday, whenever it was.
And as I said, there were very few motor cars. And the Briggses were quite generous with their car because I think there were occasions when people in the village were really ill and had to be got to hospital and then.
Was there a good bus service and train service if people wanted to go further afield? The bus service hadn't really got going
when I think when we moved at first it was really the train you used. The train was useful though. Was quite, when there wasn't a bad service from to Bradford, you'd always change at Shipley if you're going to Leeds. And the bus fare was something in the coppers when the buses came in, if you're getting to either Keighley or Skipton. But of course people wouldn't be earning much in those days. Pension was 10 shillings a week.
And of course we had the shops in the village, didn't we, in that time, which...
Do you want me to tell you the shops I can remember in the village?
Yes.
If I set off, Mother sent me shopping, go through the under the culvert and up into the village. So, on the right hand side, the co-op, just about opposite where the mill started.
Yeah.
Then, carrying on, there was Lizzie Jackson, who was a sweet shop on the left-hand side. You went up the steps to that. And somebody, I can't remember his name, who was a barber, who sold sweets. And then there was Jimmy Mosley was the grocer's, and next door was Johnny, his brother Johnny Mosley, the cobbler. And then Eddie Green, the butcher, just almost across from us here now. Mm. On Newby Road, if I sort of, if you come up the culvert and turn that sharp right at Newby Road, a few houses along was a fish and chip shop. And then there was Mr. Oliver, which was a sweet shop, of which I was telling you, well, I used to go and spend my Saturday penny, get 2 ounces of sweets for a penny. And Miss Stevens, who sold a bit of everything, the shop that became the post office. The post office in Kildwick was on Kildwick Corner. And as I say, he sold so many nice things. But, you know, he was the news agent as well.
And then there was somebody who made jam, wasn't there?
Yes, that was just,
wasn't
they called
Howard?
Yes. That was somebody at the harbour.
Yeah.
And there was a lady called Miss Holmes who came to Kilbert Church and was bent double like this because she baked bread. She lived opposite the parish room. So I used to have to go there every Saturday to collect the bread and the ginger biscuits which she baked.
Did you ever come to any of the things here? The dances or anything?
What I can remember is they used to have a sort of party for the children. Mm-hmm. Because one year I was the hostess. They always got, you know, with Herbert Ward being the host that time. You know, found some son of one of the members to be the host and the daughter to be the hostess.
You must have known some of the young men of the village that fought in the Second World War. The Bracken brothers.
Oh, I know them.
And Joe
Bracken. I shall never forget my mother walking into the schoolhouse and saying, "Teddy's missing." You know, that was... Teddy Edward, we called him Teddy Bracken.
Right.
And then, of course, his brother Billy as well.
Yeah. And Joe Bancroft as well.
Yeah. Yes.
You must have been about the same.
Well, Joe never came to Kildwich School because they'd been their father had been a manager, bill manager, I think, out in India, hadn't he?
What? Right.
Bancroft.
Right.
But I can remember Gordon, you know, the younger brothers, Gordon and Mark. Perhaps I could tell you a story about Gordon that my father told me. Because, you see, when they came to him, they'd been brought up in India, and they really talked very, you know, King's English. You see, and my father walked through his schoolyard one after dinner, because he'd come in home for dinner. And he said he heard Gordon saying to another lad, "Wait till I get me quite off." I've never heard Gordon talk like that. And he said, he caught him then coming out of the porch. And I said, "He just said, 'Now, Gordon, where have you been?' He said, 'Please, sir, I've been to hang my blazer up.'" And I said, "That's not what you said minutes ago." I've got it strange though. Round about Gordon's age, he had a lot more boys than girls in school. Because I know we had them in Sunday school. Because I actually taught Gordon and his contemporaries in Sunday school before I went to college.
What sort of numbers did you get at Sunday school in those days?
Oh, well, a lot of them. Well, I mean, that's it we did at church, didn't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was in those days or people went to church because they had nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. And of course we had a village policeman in those days.
Oh, right. Lived in the village?
Yes. One of those houses opposite. Yeah, you can see where the plaque was.
Yes.
You
remember? Kirkwood.
Yeah. The one nearest the churchyard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And if you look above the door, you can see the shape of the police.
The policemen liked to catch people because in those days the main road went round the bend. Mm. So when you came down from Farnham under the culvert, there was a stop sign, And of course in those days there weren't, like you say, there weren't cars, so people would just zoom out on their bikes, like my dad, and the policeman would stand there and catch them for not stopping at a, you know, at a stop sign.
Well, the people in the village in those days weren't really very good at crossing the road, because what they all did was go straight down opposite you and straight across.
Yes, and it was such a dangerous corner.
There hadn't been much traffic. And you see, my father trained the children. He said he'd never, and Dad said he'd often seen children trying to restrain their parents. it told them, you don't cross there. Yes. Back to the corner where you see both ways.